Good morning. There, I like the response today. I just wanted to highlight a quick Bible verse. We highlight it all the time at youth, and I thought this morning would be a good time to highlight it as well. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, you know, Paul's talking to Timothy, this young leader, and he says, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example to all believers." And I'm just feeling very thankful this morning because I think all of those kids who led us in worship this morning were such a great example to all of us believers, no matter how old we are. And I thought that was beautiful. So I'm also thankful for a church that does not look down on young kids. You guys are encouraging. You love it. I love that you weren't even just watching, but you guys were engaged in real worship being led by those children this morning, which was beautiful. I'm excited to be up here today for Family Sunday. I am a bit nervous now that everyone's drawing a picture of me. So if you notice, if like someone's probably selling orange crayons in the lobby right now, like hogging them all. So if you notice my posture a little bit better today, or like smiling, speaking through my teeth, I don't know. I'm feeling the pressure today, but I also love that we have kids in the room today. Because if there's one thing I love about kids is that they're not going to let their parents tell a lie, correct? They'll hold you accountable to it and they'll call you to it. So I have a bit of a harsh question for you here today. Who in the room has ever lost their child before? That's a lot of hands. I like the honesty. I'm thankful for it. Even if it was for a moment, many of us had had these times and these moments where we have lost our child. Now, there's going to be many times today in the service where I'm going to rely on the children's imagination in the room today, okay? And that goes for us adults as well. You don't have to be a child to have a fun imagination. So here's what we're going to do, kids and adults. There's going to be a couple times in the message today where I'm going to ask you to kind of imagine something with me, and you're going to do your best job in your mind to use your God-given imagination. So I want you to imagine this with me. I don't have children of my own, but I sometimes feel like I have 200 children in the form of my youth students. And this summer, when we were in Los Angeles in a missions trip, we spent one day after six hard days of ministry, wanted to relax, we spent one day at Disneyland. Now, I lost one of our youth students in Disneyland. We did not share this story right after the trip. But I think it's been long enough. I can share this story, and next summer, when hopefully we start talking about the next trip, you still trust me, parents. Disneyland is a safe space for this. So we were in Disneyland. We spent the whole day having fun, walking around, and one of like the big downers of the day was that Space Mountain was closed. I know, it's terrible. I love Space Mountain. Now, if you've been to Disneyland recently, you know that everything is done on an app now. You kind of look at the rides, wait times. You're on your phone all day. And it finally, around lunchtime, it finally changed, and it showed us that Space Mountain was open. We got excited, and we wanted to get there, so I told everybody to get in a single file line, keep up, and sprint with me across the park to get to Space Mountain. I knew that the line would not be too long. We got there, and we ended up waiting about 30, 40 minutes, which really isn't too bad for a ride at Disneyland. And we had 13 people on this trip. So anytime we got on a ride, most rides at Disneyland, you sit with pairs. So pretty much every time I would try to be the odd person out, like go sit by myself or go sit with a stranger and let the rest of our team have a good time. Somehow on this ride, everybody had a partner. Nobody was alone, and I actually was excited. I thought, this is great. We're all together. And it took a minute to click in that does not make sense, does it? I started looking around, panicked, asking everybody, I think we're missing somebody, and we finally realized who it was. We were missing a young girl named Mael. At this point, we had been strapped into the ride. There was nothing we could do except enjoy the next couple minutes. So we enjoyed Space Mountain. We enjoyed Space Mountain. And as soon as we got off the ride, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this, but it was one of those moments where we kind of got off the ride. Everybody was like, hey, we got to find Mael. And I started looking around. And you've probably been in this situation before, where you look around to kind of see who's in charge, to see who's going to like take that leadership step, who's going to figure this out. And you see everybody's eyes on you. And you realize, I think this is my responsibility here. I was very thankful because Mael's parents know her well, and they kind of assumed this would happen. So She had AirTags in her shoes and her backpacks and her socks. Now, I knew that this was what I needed, so I checked her AirTag, but it hadn't updated in 40 minutes, so I figured it wasn't working with the LA Wi-Fi or whatever it was. It turns out she was working, and she kind of panicked, and she hadn't moved for 40 minutes. She just stood still and hoped we found her where we lost her. We found her shortly after, and everything was okay. We ended up taking her on Space Mountain later to make up for it, all thanks to Apple's guidance. Now, most of us have been in a situation like this before where we just don't know what to do. You feel lost and you want guidance. You don't want to be the person in charge. You want someone else to guide you and help you. Last week, Garrett kicked off our Christmas series titled The Descendant. The idea that the birth of Jesus, the reason for the season, is not the first time that God has come down to us, but the culmination of many times. Today, we're going to be going to look at these different moments in Scripture where God descends to guide. Let me pray as we enter into a time of opening up Scripture. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to just gather here on a Sunday, Lord, and worship you and praise you and open up your word and just have you speak to us, God. And I thank you, Lord, for the families that are in the room right now. I thank you for children who worship and love church and have fun here and have fun in your presence. And Jesus, I just thank you that you want to use us, you want to touch our hearts no matter how old or how young we are. Jesus, we're thankful for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to jump into our first story today, and it takes place in Exodus chapter 13. If you have a real Bible with me, Mike always loves hearing the pages turn, so maybe ruffle them up a little bit for him. And we're going to be in Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22. And it says this: "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." Now, what's happening here is Israel has just left Egypt after hundreds and hundreds of years of slavery. And they're entering into the wilderness, which for them, the wilderness at this point, this is not a place of clarity or clear direction for them. It would have been more like a place of confusion, danger, and dependence. Israel has no maps, no military strength, no strategic plan, no air tags. They are in desperate need of guidance. Imagine this is you. You and your family haven't known freedom. You've been enslaved for generations, and all of a sudden you're in the wilderness, not quite sure what to do. When they had no map, no strategy, no protection, they needed something so desperately. And I love in this story that God comes down to be exactly this. He becomes their map, he becomes their strategy, and he becomes their protection. God descends in the form of a pillar, cloud by day and fire by night. And I love that this is kind of showing God's character as well. God is personal. He comes down and goes before them. He doesn't just send a list of instructions and say, "I hope this works out." He is with them, leading them. This reveals the shepherd's heart that shines so brightly in Jesus. In John chapter 10, verses 3 to 4, it says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." He goes on ahead of them, just like the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. God's shepherding guidance here is constant. I love that it says by day and by night. There's never this moment without direction for them. During the day, the pillar of cloud guides, and it actually shades them from the desert heat. I can imagine it would be hot and painful as they're walking for so long and traveling for so long under the desert heat. They would have been so thankful that God cares for them enough to give them shade. At night, the pillar of fire guides and warms them in the cold desert darkness. If you've ever spent time in the desert, you know that it goes from super hot during the day to super cold at night. And God knows this, and he cares, and he protects them. Imagine being in that situation, a cold, dark, desert night. There's nothing you would have wanted more than warmth and light, and that's how God shows up to them. This moment in Exodus shows us God's heart and desire to descend and be with us, to be with his people, to care for his people, to protect them. How good would it have felt to be protected and cared for in that moment? This is good news for us, because this is not just a story. This is highlighting God's character, the living God that we experience today. The truth is, there's many times in our lives where we can feel kind of like the Israelites here, lost, not sure what's next, desperately in need of guidance. It's Family Sunday today, so I can't help but think of the parents in the room who feel the weight of the world on their shoulders, who always feel responsible to be the guide, to be the one in charge, to be the one in that leadership position. These parents need guidance, and sometimes the parents don't know what to do, and that's the truth. So I want to encourage you today to hold on to the truth that God comes down to go before you, to guide you, to lead you, to protect you. I mentioned earlier this moment in Los Angeles where I looked around for who's in charge and realized it was me. That's not always the great feeling, and I imagine parents have a moment like this almost on the daily. But I believe that more often we need to let ourselves feel the exact opposite of this, to feel this freeing feeling where we let go and trust God. Trust that he is in charge. Trust that he will go before us. Trust that he will lead the way, that it's not always up to us to be the guide. A few chapters later, God descends to guide once again. In Exodus chapter 19 this time, in verses 16 to 20, it says this. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up. Now, I'm sure at this point, you guys are probably wondering, this is not the most Christmassy sermon so far. And I know that. This is not great Christmas imagery. We have thunder and lightning, thick clouds, fire and smoke, loud trumpet blasts, a mountain trembling, God descending on the mountain in fire. Imagine being here. Imagine traveling through the desert and you reach this moment that God promised. In Exodus 3:12, it said that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, they knew this. They knew that they would get to this mountain, they would worship God here. And I don't know what they would have pictured, but I probably wouldn't picture it quite like this. This doesn't feel like the most worship-friendly setting. This is kind of a scary setting. Imagine being there. There's lightning, there's thunder, there's thick clouds, there's fire, there's trumpet blasts. The mountain is trembling. Sinai is this place where God has descended in holiness. And there's no mistaking this for coincidence for these people. This is clearly the divine presence of God. The people trembled. It's like this moment where you're standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. It's this mix of beauty but fear. God descends on the mountain. He calls Moses up. And at the top, God gives Moses the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. These Ten Commandments were guides. This was a guide for their lives. Israel was enslaved for hundreds of years. The population would have experienced forced labor, foreign gods, and authoritarian rule. They didn't know how to live as free people. They only knew slavery. The commandments taught them how to live as free people and not property. It replaced external coercions like whips and overseers with internal moral responsibility. This would not have been restricting for these people. This would have been incredibly liberating. And I am thankful that God guides in this moment on Mount Sinai in this great descent. And I'm thankful that he still guides today in similar ways. We don't know how to do this life. But this Bible, God's living word, it teaches us how to do it. He guides us with his words. He guides us with these commandments. He teaches us how to live our lives, and we need to hold on to this truth and live it out. Now we can step into the Christmas story. If you can turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 9 to 12. We have a new pillar of fire, and this time it's in the form of a star. It says this: after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We see this language pop up again. The star went ahead of them and it led them to the child Jesus. The wise men were being guided by the star that goes ahead of them, which is the same language used in Exodus, where God was guiding Israel with a cloud and fire leading the way. Only this time, God is guiding the wise men. And in this context for them, these wise men would have been outsiders. They wouldn't have lived in the city. They wouldn't have been a part of the regular social norms. They would have been far off. These were Gentile astrologers. And God speaks their language. He speaks to them through something they understand, a star. He meets them where they are in a way they understand and brings them into something new. And I'm so thankful for this, because I think God speaks to all of us in such unique ways. He knows us. He knows our desires. He knows what we like. He knows what we love. And he wants to meet us where we're at with what we understand, which is what we see here in Scripture. This is planting the seed that God's guidance, this descent, is not just for Israel, but this descent is for all. It contrasts Exodus so much. In Exodus, guidance came with fire, lightning, thunder, trumpets, trembling mountains. And now in Matthew, we see guidance come in a soft star in the night sky. At Sinai, they were trembling in God's holiness. In Bethlehem here, they're rejoicing in God's closeness. God's holiness has actually become approachable through Jesus. The one who shook the mountain is now being swaddled in Mary's arms. And I love that Matthew emphasizes the joy for this moment here. They were overjoyed. They were delighted in the presence of Jesus. Imagine this is you. There's been these prophecies, the Messiah is coming, they know this, and all of a sudden, you are here in the presence of a newborn baby, and you know that this is the Son of God, you know that this is the King. This would be such a joyful and exciting moment. This would be celebratory, this is beautiful, and that's kind of the whole reason for the season. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This joy is the culmination of God descending. This time, descending in flesh. And we see the important differences here from Exodus. In Exodus 13, God descended and was there for his people. Yes, God was guiding them, yes. But still not, he was not yet dwelling with his people. In Exodus 19, God's holiness came down on the Mount Sinai. He descended to help them and guide them with the Ten Commandments. But yet he still needed a mediator, as Moses had to approach God for the people. But in Matthew, everything is different now. The God who descended in fire and thunder and trumpets and shook mountains and made people tremble has now descended as a fragile infant, dwelling with his people. No mediator needed here. Because of this descent, Jesus is now dwelling with us, leading us, guiding us every single day. We actually, I've been saying a bunch of times in this message, imagine this with me. Put yourself in their shoes. The good news for you today, children and adults, is we don't actually have to imagine this. This is the reality that we get to live in. The reality that our God is a living God. The reality that Jesus was born as a baby. The reality that Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. The fact that there's no mediator needed anymore. We have a close personal relationship with Jesus. This is the reality that we live in because of this descent. Jesus is dwelling with us. He's leading us. He's guiding us every day. When Jesus left earth, he promised us the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, 20 says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. John 14, 17 says, he lives with you and he will be with you. And I love this series that we're in right now because it gives us this time to look back at God in the Old Testament, look back at Yahweh. And I think so often we think about these stories and what comes to mind is fire and smoke and trembling and fear. And we associate Old Testament Yahweh with fear and these scary stories that we might not want to tell our kids. But these stories are clearly showing the heart of God that we see in the life of Jesus. Yes, it's fire and smoke, but he is there to protect, to care, and guide. Just like he is today, just like he did as an infant in the final descent. Jesus' birth is the culmination of these moments, these descents. But it was not the first descent. God has always been coming down, caring for, protecting, and guiding his people, and he always will. And for those of you who have been with us over the last couple years, you know that we spent a long time in the book of Revelations. I feel so thankful all the time that I get to like just hold on to this great hope that God gives us. Hold on to this great hope that the book of Revelation gave us. This idea that God has always been descending to be with his people, to guide his people, to care for his people. That it led to this culmination moment where Jesus descended in flesh as a baby. And it's good news for us that we get to know the truth and hold on to this idea that God will descend once again. That Jesus will descend once again. He will come back down to be with us. Very thankful for this. I just want to close today by doing this so the band can come up and start playing some music. I know that we're going to enter into a time of communion still today, and we'll do that together. But I just love this idea that we're talking about God coming down to be with us. And we see it happen in the Old Testament many times. And we see it happen again with baby Jesus here in this manger. And I think so often, even in our lives today, we kind of walk around and we think about this idea of God descending and God coming down to be with us. And we think, man, it's so nice that God is with us at church on Sunday. Or our teenagers, it's so nice that God is with us at youth on Wednesday or Tuesday. Or I'm so thankful that God is with us at Sunday school, at kids' church in the morning. I'm thankful that God is with us in after school club. But I want to look back to Exodus, this moment where God is the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night. And I want us to be reminded that this shepherding heart of God, this guide that wants to lead us, that wants to take the weight off our shoulders, that wants to protect us and go ahead of us, is constant, is not just on Sundays at church, is not just at youth on Wednesdays, is not just in the 20 minutes of the day where we open up our Bible and spend time with him. But this is a constant guide, a constant protector, a constant leader who is going before us and leading the way. So I think it's good news for us today that we don't actually have to look around and realize, dang it, I'm in charge. Dang it, this is on me. I got to take care of this. But instead, we actually don't have to look around, but we get to look up to the Father and say, thank you for being in charge. Thank you for being the guide. Thank you for being the constant lead that is over my life, that is going before me, that is paving the way, that is taking the weight off of my shoulders. That's good news for us today, because I think a lot of us have been holding on to that pressure. And today might be the first day in a while where you just get to say, God, you are the guide. You've been coming down to guide. You are here with us today. You are the guide of my life. Now, I'm not in charge. It's not up to me. And that's a very freeing thing that we get to enjoy, because God does want to come down. He does want to be with us. He is here with us today. He is present. Enjoy his presence. And we can respond today with worship. So let's all stand up together. And let's respond in worship as we continue with our service today.